Great to have you with us this afternoon on Air Talk. Coming up, BBC News Hour, and of course, the latest on the events in France. A look also at the anti-Islamic Pegida movement, that coming up on BBC News Hour right after Air Talk. Well, you've probably seen the photos of U.S. Senator Harry Reid of Nevada. He really nailed himself. He's working out with those exercise bands. And what he said is one of them snapped. He suffered an eye injury. There's a chance that he could even lose vision in one of his eyes. He fell, hit his head on file cabinets. He's still not back on the job in D.C. But, you know, his office has been very thorough about sharing his workout regimen, that he really cares about being fit. Every day he does a very rigorous workout, and he's not alone. This is perhaps the first generation of older Americans for whom being fit throughout their adult life has been a really big thing, a big part of who they are as a person. And that doesn't stop when someone gets older. So the question is, what is the best balance between being rigorously, consistently fit and also recognizing some limitations that can come with age? If you have questions, we're at 866-893-KPCC. And if you're a listener who's over 65 or 70 years of age, you've had to scale down your workout, but it's still a big part of your life, love to hear about how you've done that and found that balance and how you feel about that. We're at 866-893-KPCC or the Air Talk page, kpcc.org. With us, Professor of Family Medicine and Geriatrics and Chair of USC's Keck School of Medicine, Department of Family Medicine, Dr. Laura Mosqueda. Dr. Mosqueda, good to have you with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be back.
Thank you so much. Let me ask you first of all about this. I mean, it seems to me this is a generation that views fitness very differently than their predecessors. You think that's true?
I think that that might be true. And I think that some people discover they have more of the time and motivation to exercise actually as they get older.
And so it's maybe they weren't into it before, but now it's become a real part of it. You obviously want to encourage people to do that. Being fit is important and perhaps even more important as one ages. Do you see, though, injuries caused by, workout regimes that are maybe too strenuous?
Injuries are very rare. They're very rare. What happened to Senator Reid sounds like could have happened to anybody and was not an age-related kind of an issue.
It's equipment problem.
Absolutely. And so the dangers of being sedentary and of not exercising far outweigh any dangers related to exercise.
Although you could make the issue that perhaps if Senator Reid was younger and the band broke, he wouldn't have had injuries so extensive. Maybe would have caught himself on the way down. I mean, there are certain things that kick in with age.
That's absolutely true. I would say, on the other hand, the fact that he had those injuries and that he's in very good shape means he has a much better chance for good recovery.
All right. Very good point. Again, we're at 866-893-KPECC. Also with us, Lori Michael, a certified personal trainer and a specialist in senior fitness. Her company is Lori Michael Fitness, and she works with clients age 50 to 95. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, you're welcome, Larry. Pleasure to be here.
I assume business is booming because of the number of older Americans. We just have many more of them with baby boomers aging. And how do you work out a fitness regime with someone who's older that you know, pushes them and is rigorous but also safe?
One of the things that I always have to take into consideration is doing an assessment, because anyone who's coming to me, I have no idea what their history is. I don't know whether they even like exercise or they did it as a child. So a full assessment is really something that I take into consideration, because without that valuable information, I wouldn't know where to start.
One of the challenges, of course, you know, for older people, falling can change everything. You know, a single fall can change the whole trajectory of one's later years. So when you're crafting a workout program, is that something you keep in mind?
Absolutely. Doing not only a written assessment, but also I perform a physical assessment that includes observing where their strengths and weaknesses are. That includes the strength in their legs and balance and what types of challenges they might have to balance.
You look at bone density as an issue, for example, the frailty of someone?
In some cases, yes. It really depends. When I do have the background from perhaps their physician or from themselves, that is one of the questions I ask, because I myself suffer from osteopenia.
Which is like
osteopenia is the precursor to osteoporosis. So it's just basically you just have to be very aware of what you're doing. Strength training is one of those exercises that would help in building the strength in your bones.
Look forward again to hearing from older listeners. If you've modified your workout as a result of age, how have you done that? And what is have you had to deal with a kind of denial perhaps or frustration with not being able to do things that you could do when you were younger? Or maybe it's been just the opposite because of having more time, because of having less stress in your life, perhaps in your later years, you've really been able to work out in a way you never have before. 866-893-KPCC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpcc.org. Dr. Mosqueda, what about the psychological aspects of this and people being realistic about their abilities?
Well, there's two components to the psychological aspect, I'd say. One is helping people be realistic about setting something that's achievable for them to do. If they've been sedentary, setting small goals and helping them get there and not feel too discouraged, because we all know it's a matter of two steps forward and one step back. The other piece of it is, though, it's been found that exercise is very helpful for people who suffer from depression and anxiety. And so I really encourage folks to exercise for a whole variety of reasons, both physical and emotional.
And are there certain kinds of exercises which seem to help most cognitively, or that, you know, when someone's younger, you hear aerobic exercising, heart and lungs are really, you know, key. But as one ages, does that shift in any way?
I don't think it shifts in particular. We still want to have people doing aerobic conditioning exercises, but strengthening exercises in addition, and those for flexibility and balance as well. Things like Tai Chi are great as well for balance exercises.
And Laura, you want to elaborate on that about some of the things that you emphasize with your older clients?
Balance is certainly one of those aspects, because balance takes on many different components. You have to consider if they're hard of hearing, how is their sight, do they have any neuropathy, for instance, in their feet, can they touch the ground, do they sense when the ground is level or not level, because that again could cause a fall. So you have to take all those things into consideration. With regards to aerobic activity, the research has shown that aerobic activity is very helpful for those who have cognitive impairment, and it's something that needs to be considered as an overall fitness regime, such as 150 minutes of exercise every week, and including and then 75 minutes of vigorous exercise for those who want to do it in that realm. As long as they're also including their strength training twice a week.
So many people have fitness equipment in the home now, and that's not uncommon. And a lot of people live alone when they're older, and that may, you know, cause concern for their grown kids who, you know, worry about that they're maybe going to get an injury, you know, working out at home, whatever. Do you recommend that, there be someone working with the senior on what the plan is going to be or the regimen, or do you think that's not necessary, Dr. Mosqueda?
I let the older adult decide for themselves. Depending on what they're comfortable, if they need some sort of sense of security behind them, I think that's a decision that most folks make for themselves just fine. And we should also point out that many senior centers, for example, the Pasadena Senior Center has a marvelous gym.
Yeah,
in
they
it
do. It's a great gym.
With volunteers who are knowledgeable and able to help people. So people shouldn't be embarrassed about getting out to the gym because they're not familiar with things, and that might provide more of a sense of safety.
Well, some of the senior centers, the bigger challenge is getting time on the equipment, because there's so many people who want to use it. And, of course, it's an economical way to do so. Let's talk with Scott in Los Alamitos. You're on Air Talk.
Hi, I've been working out since I was about 20, and I'm 59 now. And one of the things I've learned is that I can't do the things that I used to do, and there's no need to, quite honestly. But the biggest thing that I have found is that a lot of times when you have different pains, that simple stretching, stretching only can help you work through it rather than falling into that cycle of pain, Medicaid, pain, Medicaid, because a lot of people my age seem to have that problem. Yeah, and I've gotten in tune with my body over the years to be able to just work through those issues. And, yeah, it hurts a little bit. But you know what? It's better than taking pills and possibly hurting yourself even more.
Now, when you started working out when you were 21, I think you said you're 59 now. So is it a lot different? Does it take on a different importance or significance now that you're in middle age?
Absolutely. And it takes me longer to stretch. I do not have the same strength. I do not recover as quickly, but I'm also a lot smarter, and I drink more water, and I breathe deeper, and I make sure I stretch before I do things. When I was younger, there was a guy there that I used to watch. I actually went to a Jack LaLanne, and he was about 75 years old, and I asked him, and I was only 21 or 22, and he said, the secret to staying young when you're older is to keep your back in shape, and I've never forgotten that.
Yeah, sounds like a smart guy. Scott, I appreciate it very much. Good to hear from you. Lori Michaels, your response to that.
Well, I think he's very smart. He's taking a very modest approach to when he does have pain. If there's anything that just lingers, it's a good thing to see your doctor and find out if there's, you know, anything else that could be done. And I agree with him. If you can stay off any meds as long as possible, then go ahead and do that. But, you know, just to be wise and just to be mindful of there are certain movements that are increasing your pain, or do you feel better, you know, being in certain positions, even lying in bed? I mean, you have to consider, maybe you need that pillow in between your legs. I don't know. But stretching is, you know, one of the great things that people often forget to do.
You've specialized in this, but I wonder, as you look at the world of personal trainers and fitness class leaders, do you feel like that they are, for the most part, sufficiently trained to deal with older clients?
I think it's becoming more prevalent to work with older clients. There's a lot of the different certification agencies that do train people on how to work with older adults. I myself have certain certifications, but it's also the hands-on knowledge. When I hire some of the trainers that work for me, I have to make sure that they understand about certain chronic conditions. Some of those things are not dealt with in depth with the certification agencies. They're just like if you just got off the boat and you took a course on how to be a general physical fitness trainer, you still need to have the world experience on knowing what to do next.
Let's take another listener call. This is from Barbara in Hollywood. You're on Air Talk.
Yes, I'd just like to follow up on what she was saying. I'm 67. I work with someone who is ACSM trained. And she works with special populations. And the importance of proper form, you need cardio, you need strength, you need training to help you prevent those falls and to maintain flexibility as you age. And the vast majority of trainers, whether they're at gyms, especially at gyms or out in public, don't have very much certification, don't understand special populations, whether it is older adults or pregnant women or people increasingly who've had knee surgeries, heart medication. So trainers is really at the heart of it. And unfortunately, our medical system will pay for physical therapy, but they will not pay for exercise specialists largely at this point in time. And it is something that is coming and very much needed.
I appreciate it, Barbara. Good to hear from you. Kathy writes on the page, kpcc.org, my daughter's a multi-certified personal fitness trainer. She doesn't allow her clients to use those rubberized stretch cords that have hard handles on them, whether they break in use or not. They can act like slingshots if the client loses his or her grip, just accidents waiting to happen. Lori Michael, do you agree with that?
Yes, I think that if they're not trained well enough, like for instance, there are different kinds of bands. So for instance, if you have a short band that it's probably about 6 inches long, about an inch thick, if you, depending on how you're holding it, yes, your hand could slip out, but you have to make sure also that those bands are in the or good condition, because after use, it's a rubber band.
Rubber degrades.
Exactly.
Carolyn Culver City wants to stress about senior centers and the great exercise opportunity, and they often have people who are very familiar with working with seniors and their fitness needs. Carol, thank you for that. B writes on the page, I'm 60, no pills, no chronic condition, into many sports, surfing to mountain biking all the time, and more heavily involved in sports. When I surf, the 20-year-old kids can't even keep up with me since they don't have the energy because of their crummy diet. That's me writing on the Air Talk page, kpcc.org. www.thehealthyhour.org. You can share your comments there as well. Dr. Mosqueda, we're wrapping up, but just a final thought for, you know, older Americans and their fitness.
2 points. One is we don't need to make it overly complicated. So even if you can't get out or get to a trainer, walking, using your bike, those sorts of things are perfectly fine to do. And so you can go low tech and do just fine. And the other is, even if you are more in the frail older adult category, you're not surfing every day, a little bit of exercise goes a long way no matter who you are.
All right. Thank you both so much. Appreciate your being with us, Dr. Laura Mosqueda of USC's Keck School of Medicine, and Lori Michael Fitness. It's Air Talk. Have a terrific afternoon. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 11 for the next Air Talk on KPCC.